Russian chef Minister in the world. For our dinner, the great conflict I have for you, nursing our nation. As for as many as not see my face in the flesh, with their heart making courage, being knit together in love, and attaining full riches of the full assurance of understanding, and knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and the Son, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with the first words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built fast in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in them with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you with philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, but the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him, in the faith and the working of God, were raised him from the dead. And you being dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle, triumphing over them, so that no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking the light of false humanity and worship of angels, treating those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his possession of mind, and not holding fast to the head, of whom all the world is nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase of the world.
But briefly summarized, and it perhaps depends what translation you use or what language you speak, and the scripture is very helpful for us here in identifying these dangers with the letter D.
In English language, في اللغة الإنجليزية الأمور المخاطر قدامنا تبتدي بكلمة D.
First, in verse 4, let no one delude you by persuasive speech. There's delusion.
delusion or deception.
In verse 8, it speaks of philosophy and vain deceit. It's deception.
In verse
18 and 19, it speaks and says, let no one fraudulently deprive you of your prize. That's deprivation.
عدد 18 لا يخسركم أحد الجعالة.
The other danger, the scripture itself doesn't give us a D. I've asked Donald to find one, but he can't find one either. It refers in verse 16 and 17 to the danger of ritualism.
الحاجة الرابعة اللي هي حالة 16 اللي هي مشكلة التقاليد أو الطقوس.
So, persuasive speech in the early section, delusion.
فالكلام الملق في عدد الجزء الأول عبارة عن خداع أو وهم.
Philosophy, rationalism, intellectualism in verse 8 and the surrounding verses, that's deception.
بالنسبة للفلسفة والغرور الباطل في عدد 8 يقول عنه أنه خداع.
Verses 16 and 17, human religious ordinances. I guess we could call it distraction, but it's really much stronger than that.
عدد 16 فيما يخص بالتقاليد والطقوس دي حاجات بتسبب يعني تشوه الذهن أو تشتت الذهن.
And then verse 18 and 19, worship of angels, entering into things that the mind does not see. That's superstition. Superstition deprives Christians of what's really theirs.
أما عدد 18 بيتكلم عن الملائكة وعبادة الملائكة، الكلام في أمور لا نعرفه، ده كله عبارة عن نوع من الأوهام أو الأفكار الروحانة.
But before even leading into that, in the early verses, the first three verses, we get the wonderful burden of the Apostle Paul, where he presents to us the great burden that was on his heart that would really establish the basis for bringing out the remedy for all of these dangers.
لكن قبل ما نتكلم عن هذه المخاطر في الثلاث أعداد الأولى نشوف كان مشغولية قلب الرسول وما كان على قلبه من نحو المؤمنين هناك وهو مشغول بهم في مواجهة هذه المخاطر.
There is a very precious application of verse 1 because we can take it very directly. The Apostle Paul is writing to us. He is writing to those in Colossae and in Laodicea, and as many as who have not seen my face in the flesh. And I think we can all say with confidence, we have not seen Paul's face in the flesh, so he is writing directly to us here today.
في تطبيق عملي على عدد واحد الرسول هنا بيكتب أريد أن تعلموا أي جهاد لي لأجلكم ولأجل الذين في لودوكية وجميع الذين لم يروا في الجسد. بكل تأكيد إحنا نقدر نلاقي نفسنا في حزمة هذه الجماعة اللي بيكتب لها الرسول بولس، لأنه بالتأكيد إحنا ما شفناش وجه الرسول بولس.
So we could read verse 2 in a very personal sense. For us here in Baldwin, we can read it to the end that our hearts may be encouraged, being united together in love.
عشان كده نقدر ناخد الكلام في عدد 2 بصفة شخصية لينا اللي كانت تتعزق قلوبنا، اللي كانت تشجع قلوبنا مقترنة أو متحدة معا هنا في بولون في المحبة.
And we can look at all of these wonderful words that are written here, being united together in love and to unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. There shouldn't be one of us in this room today who should say we don't have a prayer for the understanding of all the riches of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that we've been reading about in the scripture.
والرسول هنا يصلي من أجل أن يكون المؤمنين هناك وهم متعزين قربهم متحدة معا لكي يصلوا إلى غنى يقين الفهم والمعرفة. وإن كان إحنا من ضمن هؤلاء الناس اللي بيصلي من أجلهم الرسول بالتأكيد نعرف أنه رفعت صلوات من أجلنا من أجل أن احنا نصل إلى هذه المعرفة أو غنى يقين الفهم والمعرفة.
بداية الإصحاح بيتكلم عن حاجة جميلة بيعالج فيها المؤمنين في كورنثوس في كولوسي، ونفس الحاجة دي بيتكلم فيها في رسائل كتير الرسول بولس.
In the beginning of the chapter, he starts with something that he was dealing or treating with the Christians, and he also used it in Corinthians. And that thing was a beautiful thing that the Apostle Paul started with in his early life and finished his life off with it. And that's the struggle. It's good as the Christian faith is based on blood. But it is good to have struggle even unto death or the shedding of blood. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says there that struggling against a sin unto death or blood. In verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So the thing that encourages believer to believe in faith in face of philosophy and pride and vanity is struggle. Things of God have come to us through grace. But we have a responsibility to live in struggle. So the life of faith needs struggle, not just surrendering to the evil things in the world.
First point he mentions here is that the hearts may be united together. This is a truth we can learn from the animal world.
في البداية بيقول إنه مقترنة قلوبنا معا، ودي حاجة يمكن نتعلمها من العالم الحيوان.
This is what we sometimes see in Africa when there's a danger for the buffaloes, and that they come together and they put their heads together.
نشوف في أفريقيا إن لما يكون في خطر بالقطيع الجاموس اللي يجيكوا مع بعض ويحطوا رؤوسهم سوا.
And the lions who try to destroy them walk around them, but do not dare to come near to them.
والأسد لما بيحوم من حولهم عشان يفترسهم يفضل يحوم حولهم لكن لا يبرؤ إنه يقترب منهم.
And this is a picture for us, beloved, that we may be united, knit together in love.
ودي صورة أحبائي لينا نحن عشان نكون مرتبطين مع بعض مقترنين معا في المحبة.
In order to raise a defense of, against the enemy who's coming up.
حتى نقدر نحن ندافع ضد العدو القائم ضدنا.
This was the deep desire of Paul for these believers.
دي كانت أشواق الرسول العميقة من نحو هؤلاء المؤمنين.
And how much we can learn from the heart of Paul. His love and his compassion went out to the believers he had not seen yet. But they knew that they were the Lord's. And he realized the danger that they would be robbed of the enjoyment of the Lord. But foremost, that the Lord would be robbed of that what rightfully belonged to him.
لكن الأهم من كذا إن الرب نفسه كان هيحرم من ما هو حقه أن يتمتع به.
saw here the conflict Paul was going through. How did he go through this conflict for the sake of the Colossian brethren and those who are in Laodicea who did not see his face according to the flesh? He was praying for them.
شوف هنا الرسول كان في صراع من أجل أو جهاد من المؤمنين. إزاي كان بيتعامل مع هذا الصراع أو الجهاد اللي كان فيه؟ إنه كان بيصلي من أجلهم.
We read about Epaphras in chapter 4, verse 12. Also that he was laboring fervently, and it said that it is the same in the original language. That Epaphras was laboring fervently also in prayer for the Colossian brethren, and Epaphras was also in the prison in a visit for Paul as well, bringing the good news to the Colossian brethren later on.
مذكور برضو عن Epaphras في أصحاح 4:13 إنه كان مجاهدا ونفس الكلمة المستخدمة للرسول مجاهد كل حين لأجلكم بالصلوات لكي تثبتوا كاملين ومبتدئين في كل مشيئة الله. كان مجاهد لأجلهم في الصلاة في ذات الوقت اللي كان بيحضر الأخبار الطيبة للرسول في السجن.
It is the same word mentioned in Luke 22 verse 44 about the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
فهي ذات الكلمة اللي ذكرت عن الرب يسوع في لوقا 22 لما كان في في جثتان جسماني اللي كان في جهاد كثير.
Yes, and being in agony he prayed more earnestly and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
لما كان يصلي بأكثر لجاجة وكانت عرف كان عرف قطرات دم نازلة إلى الأرض.
I think we can see now his desires reach up to the point that their hearts are knit together in love, and that how when we get closer to the heart of God in prayer, how we can up our limit, our shelf of requests to God, and that God can work marvelous things as we continue and persevere in prayers.
كده كل ما نقترب للرب كل ما ترتفع مستوى صلواتنا كما كان الرسول هنا يصلي من أجل المؤمنين أن تقترن قلوبهم معا في المحبة.
What is persuasive speech? Is it something like the Gibeonites were able to deceive the Israelites?
هل كلام ملك زي كلام استخدموا الجبانيين إنهم يخدعوا الإسرائيليين؟
There was certainly deception involved in that instance, wasn't there? Definitely, they were acting in a very underhanded way. They took old bread and said it was new bread. They took old clothes and said it was new clothes. They deliberately deceived.
So do you mean that's different from delusion that you referred to in the beginning?
It seemed to be different from persuasive speech. Mm-hmm. There are not many people who accept false doctrine because someone comes along and says, hey, I've got a false doctrine for you. It's on the basis of somebody having a very clever approach at presenting a message. Robin was telling me in a break about a friend he'd known for years who was a professing Christian who converted to become a Mormon. You don't do that without some very clever, persuasive speech.
الكلام الملح يمكن هي واضحة في الكلمة الإنجليزي. I've been كيف بالنسبة لكلامنا العربي كلام المحلسة يعني. لما واحد أسمع كلام أسمعه كلام يقصده كلام حلو يبان في شكله حلو عادة إنه اللي بيخدعه بأن واحد مثلا جاي تعليم شرير ما بيجيش يقول له تعالى أنا عايز أقول لك تعليم ضد الكتاب، لا ده هو بيكلمه كلام حلو جدا ويبدو للسمع إنه كلام طيب جدا متوافق مع كلمة ترى، لكن في الوسط بيدخل له تعاليم شريرة. وده اللي كان اختبار لدونالد، بيقول إنه كان ليه واحد صاحبه كان مؤمن حلو خالص لكن فجأة تغير إنه يكون من ضمن المورمونز.
Paul's combat, his prayer, his desire that we might be united together in love, had something else attached to it, something else of which he said, I say this to the end that, with the objective that, no one might be able to delude you by persuasive speech. There's the knowledge of something which will hold us against this possibility of being deluded if it really enters down deeply into our souls. We need to touch on what that something is. It's very, very important.
الرسول هنا بيتكلم عن بيصلله من قربهم تقترن تتاخد معهم بالمحبة، لكن في نفس الوقت انه مهتم جدا انه محدش يخدعهم بكلام ملف او كلمات مقنعة. لكن الكلام ده مرجع على اساس حاجة مهمة جدا، ايه هي الحاجة دي؟
It's so important, and perhaps there are others who may differ on this. It's so important that we can see, even in the manuscripts of Scripture itself, human hand coming in through failure to grasp what the apostle is saying and attempting to improve on it.
كثير نشوف إنه حتى في الكتابات أو الترجمات اللي موجودة لكلمة الله نلاقي مثلا إنه بتيجي اليد الإنسانية أو التدخل الإنساني يحاول يصحح حاجات حسب وجهة نظره في كلمة الله.
In the manuscript copies, the handwritten copies of the Book of Colossians that were circulated, that ultimately were compiled into a Greek text from which our Bibles have been translated, there are no less than 17 different variations for what is said here at the end of verse 2.
بالنسبة للمخطوطات اللي جمعت عن رسالة كولوسي، طبعا المخطوطات دي كانت كتبت بخطوط خط اليد. في تلك المخطوطات اللي كانوا حوالي يمكن 17 مخطوطة، نشوف فيها انه فيها اختلاف في هذا الجزء على الاثنين.
It's things like that, I'm sure our Egyptian brethren will confirm, that place us in a position of shame as Christians in the face of people like Muslims who say our holy book was never tampered with.
بالتأكيد انه حاجات زي كده بالذات لينا احنا كمصريين او عرب بنعرف انه حاجات زي كده يجي المسلمين مثلا يقولوا لنا احنا بشوف انتوا عندكم في تغييرات كتير وحاجات مش صح، احنا عمر الكتاب بتاعنا ما اتلمس او اتغير.
Back in chapter 1, Paul told us. Back in chapter 1, Paul told us there was a special ministry with which he was entrusted. A ministry which of which there were riches and glory.
الرسول بولس يقول لنا في الأصحاح الأول إن هو كان مؤتمن على خدمة، خدمة مرتبطة بغنى ومجد.
The riches of the glory of this mystery.
غنى ومجد هذا السر.
Christ in you the hope of glory.
المسيح فيكم رجاء المجد.
And he wants us here in verse 2 to come to the He says, the full assurance of understanding to the full knowledge of the mystery of God.
عشان كده الرسول عايزنا في أصحاح 2 حنوصل إلى غنى يقين الفهم لمعرفة سر الله.
Human mind and human hand has said, this can't be. No, it's not possible. It can't be that God speaks of there being treasures of wisdom and of knowledge comprised in this mystery. It must be something else. It's got to be the mystery of God and of the Father, or God and of the Father and of Christ, or God and of the Father and of the Son and of Christ. All sorts of nonsensical things have come in the manuscripts. Because God has for us a key to unlock the Bible. And that key is that in the present period of time, the glorified, exalted man, the one about whose glories we've been reading, is united to his people here. God reserved that for the present period of time, and he reserved it in order that when we get a grasp of it, we've got a key to unlock all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge hidden throughout the Bible, not only in the New Testament.
So you meant that Father and Christ wasn't there. العدد اثنين اللي مكتوب فيه انه الرسول يصلي لكي نصل الى غنى يقين الفهم يعني التأكيد والامان لفهم لمعرفة سر الله. واضح انه الناس قالت يعني ايه يعني مش ممكن الكلام ده يعني ايه نحن نفهم سر الله. فهل رأيك ان هو يقصد مثلا سر الله الاب والمسيح فاضطوا الكلمات كما لو كان عشان توضح لكن الفكر كله أو مفتاح فهم هذا السر أو الرسالة إن إحنا نفهم إن إحنا متحدين بالمسيح. هذا الاتحاد المسيح كالرأس مع الجسد هو ده اللي أعطانا أن نفهم ويقين الفهم لهذا أو هذا هو المفتاح لفهم أمور الله أو معرفة سر الله اللي هو المسيح فيكم رجاء المجد.
في عبرانيين 10 يتكلم عن يقين الإيمان وهنا يتكلم عن يقين الفهم.
In Hebrews 10 speaks about the assurance of faith and here speaks about the assurance of understanding.
يقين الإيمان حتى لو مش فاهم أستطيع أني أتعامل مع أمور الله بكل يقين حتى لو مش فاهم.
The assurance of faith that even if I do not understand, I still can deal with things of God with faith and with belief and trust.
يعني الإيمان يتعامل مع الأشياء التي لا ترى أنها واقع يبني على القرارات.
So faith deals with things that are unseen. He believes it. He decides by his things based on that.
لكن جميل أكثر أننا نوصل إلى غنى يقين الفهم لأن الواحد مدرك الأمور المعطاة لي من الله وفهمها ويستمتع بها.
But it's more beautiful to get to the understanding or the riches of the assurance of understanding of things of God and work it out, live it and enjoy it.
دي مرحلة من النضوج أكثر.
So this is a stage or a stage further in maturation or maturity, spiritual maturity.
الرسالة هنا لأنها بتعالج مشكلة التعليم اللي دخلت في الكنيسة تعليم غريبة فلسفات غريبة.
This epistle as it deals with the different doctrine or strange doctrine that went in. It's the same problem that we can deal with in these last and closing days. Because the problem is some people may have the knowledge but they don't have true faith. And it's good to have faith, but it is important that our faith would grow through our knowledge of Christ. Verse
5.
Speak about unity in the Spirit. Says that I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
في إيمان ممكن يكون ضعيف.
So the faith that might be weak.
لكن ممكن يكون في إيمان متين معتمد على كلمة الله ساكنة فينا.
But there might be a strong faith based on the word of God indwelling us.
إحنا محتاجين الأيام دي إن يكون لنا الإيمان الواثق في الرب المتين.
These days we need the faith that trusts the Lord, faith that's strong.
لأن في مخاطر كثيرة جوه الكنيسة من تعاليم غريبة.
So there is dangers within the church from false or strange doctrine.
وخصوصاً إن في كمان ممكن يكون تعليم غريب في خارج الكنيسة.
Particularly that there is wrong doctrine outside the church.
اللي يحفظ الكنيسة في الوحدانية وفي القوة متانة الإيمان في المسيح.
But what protects or preserves the church in unity and in power is faith in Christ, or steadfastness of faith in Christ.
An important part of that steadfast faith in Christ is our grasping and holding to the reality that Christ is the head of the body.
شيء مهم جدا في موضوع متانة الإيمان هو تمسكنا بالمسيح كرأس الجسد.
He says in verse 5, I am with you in spirit. The you is the plural you.
هنا يقول لهم أنا معكم في الروح. معكم هنا بيشير إليهم كجماعة.
That he talks of seeing your order. That's the plural your.
أما بيقول ناظرا تركيبكم أيضا بيشير كلهم كجماعة.
One of the delusions that's around in Christian circles is that we don't need to be knit together. We can be independent and we can be solo.
شيء من الحاجات اللي موجودة في الدوائر المسيحية إن إحنا مش بالضرورة نكون مرتبطين مع بعضنا البعض. ممكن نكون مستقلين عن بعضنا البعض ونتعامل كوحدات منفصلة.
There are very clever preachers who are preaching that you don't need to belong to the assembly. You can do things your own way.
في تعاليم بتقول أنت مش محتاج أن ترتبط بالكنيسة بالكنيسة المحلية. أنت ممكن تعمل كل حاجة بنفسك يعني لو كنت تريحة.
And this is a direct denial of the truths which we've been studying in this scripture.
وده تعليم مضاد جدا وفي إنكار للحقائق المعلنة في هذه الرسالة.
It's a challenge to us in our daily practice, in the associations that we have, in the places that we go. Do they have similar types of deluding speech?
وده تحدي أو شيء محتاجين نسأل أنفسنا في المكان اللي أنا بروح فيه أو المكان اللي أنا في شركة معاه. هل لديهم أفكار من هذا النوع؟
Paul is combating earnestly against that type of teaching.
الرسول هنا بيدافع أو بيحارب بشراسة ضد هذا النوع من التعليم، تعليم الاستقلالية.
He says in verse 6, therefore, as you therefore have received the Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him rooted, that is the very foundation, and built up, that is developed and assured in the faith, even as you have been taught, abounding in it.
الرسول يقول لهم هذا ستة فكما قبلتم المسيح يسوع الرب اسلكوا فيه متأصلين ده الأساس اللي مبني عليه مبنيين عليه مبنيين فيه ده النضوج أو البناء عندما ترتفع لفوق ثم موطدين أو مؤكدين أو موثقين أو آمنين في الإيمان كما علمتم متفاضلين فيه بالشكر.
برضو في عدد 5 بيقول فرحا وناظرا ترتيبكم ومتانة إيمانكم.
Verse 5 says they're rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
الرسول كان بيتعامل مع كنائس كثيرة على سبيل المثال بتوع كورنثوس ما كانوش مترتبين بتوع غلاطية ما كانش عندهم متانة الإيمان لكنهم انتقلوا هكذا سريعا.
The apostle Paul dealt with many churches, for it, they didn't have that. For example, in Corinthians, they were not in good order. Those of Galatians, they didn't have the steadfastness of their faith. They moved so quickly.
لكن قبل ما يحذرهم أو يتكلم عن المخاطر، امتدح فيهم الحاجتين.
But before he brings up the dangers that were before them, he praised those two things in them.
Let us praise God in blind for the days when Paul wrote the epistle. But we see that the characteristics of Laodicea had been exposed to the apostle by the Holy Spirit, and thus he could write about the dangers that's coming.
الرسول كان بيكتب يمكن نفكر حاجات متعلقة بأحداث الوقت وقته لكن الرسول بالروح القدس أعلن له ما ميز كنيسة لودوكية في تاريخ كنسية.
Where Paul here, if I may go back to verse 2 again, the riches of understanding and the full knowledge. Is that not reaching back to chapter 1, where Paul already has mentioned this about the full knowledge of God? And then he has developed that wonderful truth of Christ in you, the hope of glory, as we have heard this morning, not in the first place Jews, but also Gentiles.
الرسول هنا وهو بيصلي من أجل غنى الفهم والمعرفة ده يرجع بينا لصلاة الرسول في أصحاح 1 لما قال هناك عن تمتلئ من معرفة مشيئته في كل حكمة وفهم روحي الأمر اللي وصلهم في النهاية إلى الفكر أن المسيح فيكم هو رجاء المجد وده مش بس في يهود لكن في اليهود والأمم معه.
And then he continues to speak about the mystery of God, which is different from the mystery which was not revealed for all ages before the Paul came.
بعد كده يتقدم الرسول يتكلم عن سر الله اللي كان مختلف عن ما كان قبل الرسول قبل ما يجي الرسول.
But here is the mystery of God, the unfolding of the counsel of God, what was in the heart of God with respect to men on earth.
هنا سر عن ما كان في قلب الله فيما يختص بالإنسان على الأرض.
And persuasive speech is finds an easy audience amongst the people of God.
وكلام الملأ أو الكلام الناعم المخادع عادة يلاقي دائما أذان صاغية بين شعب الله.
We have heard about Laodicea, this the ultimate one, but if you study these seven letters to the seven churches, you see that a decline in the testimony of God.
سمعنا عن لودوكية وده المثال الأسوأ أو أكثر انحدارا لكن نشوف في على تاريخ الكنيسة بسبع كنائس نشوف أن الموضوع في تدهور متدرج متزايد.
And it goes up to the moment that the Apostle John writes, "But unto you I say."
لكن عشان كده لجي الوقت اللي جاي الرسول يوحنا يكتب لما أما أنتم أقول.
And perhaps we may read that in this epistle as well. Unto you I say.
عشان كده برضو في الرسالة دي يقول لهم كده رسول أما فلكم أنا أقول أو إنما أقول هذا لكم بعد أربعة مثلا.
And that we may be very careful to discern which voice and what voice is speaking to us.
نحتاج إن إحنا نكون مميزين نعرف إيه الصوت بيقول لنا إيه وأي صوت بيتكلم.
And we can learn this from the five books of Moses when the Lord speaks to Aaron and to Moses and to Aaron and then he says often and speak to the children of Israel.
الرب كان يكلم موسى وهارون بعد كده كان يرتل لهم وكلم شعب إسرائيل.
For us beloved it is so important to know where the message comes from.
عشان كده مهم جدا إخواتي هنعرف الرسالة جاية منين.
Is it coming from the heart of God? Is it scriptural?
هل هي جاية من قلب الله؟ هل هي كتابية؟
Is it supported by the truth we find in God's word?
هل هي كلمات أو رسالة تتفق مع الحق المعلن في كلمة الله؟
Here we find a great danger that the word is spoken to the senses.
نشوف هنا الخطورة إن كلمات بتكون يستحي السمع ليها.
And the senses like to hear it and enjoy it. Persuasive speech.
كلام يبسط الأذان وكلام ناعم مقنع.
The Apostle Paul is in deep prayer for these saints to preserve them from that age.
والرسول هنا في صلاة عميقة من أجل أنه يحفظ القديسين من هذه المخاوف.
Message to the seven assemblies in Revelation 2 and 3 gives us perhaps a serious warning concerning the reality of these dangers.
الرسالة إلى سبع كنائس في سفر الرؤيا بتدينا تحذير واضح فيما يختص بهذه المخاطر.
We already know from this letter that there were more than seven assemblies in Asia.
نعرف من هذه الخطابات أنه كان هناك أكثر من سبع كنائس في آسيا.
We know there was one in Laodicea. We read it in Revelation 3.
حنعرف أنه كان في كنيسة في لاودوكية زي ما نعرف في رؤية 3.
But there's also one right next door in Colossae and another in Hierapolis.
لكن كان في برضو كنيسة ثانية في كولوسي وثانية واحدة في هيرابوليس.
But they're not mentioned in Revelation 3.
ودول مش مذكورين في رؤية 3.
And there may be other reasons for it. But surely we ought to take at least one reason to our hearts that there's a danger if we don't listen to the words of the apostle, then just like with Colossians, going forward a few more years to the time of the apostle John, no letter written to them.
زي ما سمعنا في كريستين في الكلوس في هيرابوليس لكن لما جه على أيام الرسول يوحنا مفيش كلام كتب ليهم.
We can't pronounce absolutely, but we must ask the question: Did they listen to what Paul said? Did they survive? Did that assembly still exist by the time the Apostle John wrote?
ما نقدرش نحكم حكم قاطع لكن من حنسأل السؤال: هل الكنائس دي استمرت؟ هل الكنائس دي سمعت لنصيحة الرسول وتحريضه واستمروا أو إيه اللي حصل؟ ما نعرفش.
We spoke yesterday about the importance of our spiritual state in order to be receptive to truth at different levels. And we mentioned that Colossians presents to us truth at quite a high level.
اتكلمنا امبارح على إنه حالتنا الروحية مهمة جدا عشان نقدر نستقبل إعلانات الله لينا ونحن نفهم كمان إعلانات الله وعشان كده الكنيسة في الكلوسي كانت مستوى ما الله الدوم أو الرسول الدوم عبد الروح القدس إعلانات على مستوى عالي.
Which makes it very challenging when we look at verse 8, the next danger. Paul says he uses a pronoun which is emphatic. He says, see that there be no one who shall lead you away.
فعلى الثمانية يقول انظروا أو انتبهوا أن لا أحد يسبيكم أو يعني يخدعكم أو يضللكم بمعنى كلمة الإنجليزي.
You Colossians, you of a high spiritual state, you're capable of receiving these truths. There's a possibility that even you can be led away through these dangers.
الرسول هنا بيخاطب أهل الكروسي نفسهم. أنتوا يا أهل الكروسي يلي حالتكم الروحية مرتفعة وفهمكم عالي لكن أنتوا خلوا بالكم إنه ما حدش يخدعكم أو يضلكم.
Others who have lived a little longer will have seen down through the successive generations wave after wave of young people at university age lost to the testimony through embracing philosophy and vain deceit.
اللي مننا عاش شايف في أجيال متعقدة نشوف شباب خدعوا وشباب انجذبوا إلى مجرد فلسفات وغرور باطل.
We may have to face it in our studies. I say this and say it plainly. We may have to face it in our studies. We may have to learn things in order to get a pass mark, but let's never have an esteem for it or a regard for it. Let's be on our guard, recognizing the intense danger of philosophy.
ربما نحن في دراستنا بالنسبة لذات الشباب ربما ندرس موضوعات وعلوم معينة محتاجين نعرفها عشان نجيب درجة ونجح في الامتحان تخلينا منتبهين إن هذه الأمور أو هذه الأفكار والنظريات والعلوم الفلسفية ما تجذبناش أو تبعدنا عن الحق الذي لنا أو بيننا.
عدد سبعة قبل ما يتكلم عن عدد ثمانية لا يسبيكم أحد بالفلسفة بيتكلم عن حاجتين أساسيين حلوين قوي في عدد سبعة.
In verse 7, before speaking about philosophy, verse 8, before speaking about philosophy, he mentioned two beautiful things in verse 7. It says they are rooted and built up. Rooted, something related to fruit, being fruitful and farming or cultivating. But building up is related to high rises. And these are the two things that the apostle spoke about them in his epistle to the Ephesians. In chapter 3, he speaks about being rooted and established in love. And that's why he talked to them in chapter 4 about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It is important for establishment of faith and the unity of the church that there would be rooting and building up.
الأصل يجي من خلال زراعة حلوة أن يكون في نقاوة في الزراعة في الأرض.
Rooting comes from purity in cultivating or sowing.
ما يكونش في حجارة بتعطل في الزراعة في الأرض.
There shouldn't be any stones that hinders the plants in the land, in the earth.
ما يكونش في شوك بيفنق العمل الإلهي في الأرض في حياتنا الشخصية.
Shouldn't be thorns that strangle the spiritual or the divine spiritual work in our lives.
في إشعياء 37 بيقول متأصلون إلى أسفل يصنعون ثمرا إلى ما فوق.
In Isaiah 37 it says rooted deep down and making fruits upwards.
فإذا في أصل يبقى في ثمر فوق.
So if there's a root, there will be fruits.
إذا في نمو طبيعي من خلال عمل الله بالروح القدس وكلمة الله والإيمان يعطي ثمر كتير في الحياة ونمو في الحياة الروحية.
If there will be natural steady growth, there will be plenty of fruits in spiritual life.
ودي مثل واضح جدا من خلال شخصية يوسف اللي سمعنا عنه من شوية.
And a clear example of that is in the life of Joseph, which we have heard about before. In Genesis 49, verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough on a well, I think.
Yeah.
I think you have to read it. Genesis 49, verse 22. So Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall.
على قدر ما يوسف كان قريب من مية كلمة الله كان في نمو كبير في حياته وارتفاع باستمرار.
So not Joseph was close to water, which is the word of God, he was fruitful and he is going upright all the time.
مبنيين.
Built up.
البناء يرجع أولا للارتباط بالمسيح.
Building is mainly related to being identified with Christ.
أيوم 22.
In Job 22.
إن رجع إلى القديم.
If you come back to the mighty, you'll be built up.
في إشعياء 58:11.
And in Isaiah 58:11, I have to read that one too. It says there, those from among you shall build the old waste places.
فالرجوع إلى الرب يعطي بناء شخصي لحياة.
So coming back to the Lord would bring about person building up in my life.
لما يكون الرب واضح في حياتي من خلال عمل الإيمان فيا.
And the Lord has cleaned my life through the work of faith.
ممكن يستخدمنا الرب في عمل إلهي في تغيير النفوس اللي حوالينا.
The Lord may use me in changing people around me.
ومنك تبنى الخرب القديم.
Of you, the old ways will be built up.
لكن في شيء جميل جدا من خلال البناء في تسالونيك الأولى 5:11.
But there is something beautiful through building in 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
من خلال البناء.
Through building.
يقول الكتاب ابنوا أحدكم الآخر.
Says they build one another.
أحدنا يكون سبب بركة كلنا البعض.
So it is good to be a source of blessing one to another.
ما نكونش منفصلين عن بعض لكن بنبني بعض.
We are not separated from each other but rather edifying one another.
مش بنكون بنبعد بعض لكن نكون بنبني بعض وبنشجع بعض.
Not we are separating one from the other but encouraging one another.
Would this verse tie in with John 15? Lord speaking of himself as the true vine.
الممكن العدد ده يرتبط بيوحنا 15 بنتكلم عن كارما الحقيقية.
إن سببتم فيا وسبب كلامي فيكم تأتون بثمر كثير ويدوم ثمركم يوحنا 15
تفصيلا. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you bring much fruit. And every branch brings fruit, he will prove that he might bring much fruit or more fruit.
كان هنا التركيز أكثر على تأصل العمق والزور اللي بتحفظ ضد العواصف والمخاطر من الانهيار. سواء البيت اللي لازم يكون ليه أساسات وإلا لو ارتفع أكثر من قوة احتمال الأساسات انهار. الشجرة اللي بتتعمق بجذورها تصمد قدام قوة العواصف. تأصل التعليم الغير
Here talking about being rooted and built up, talking about a tree that's got deep roots or a building that's got a foundation where it will withstand the storms of the wrong doctrine and teaching is here. So there must be rooting and there must be basis for the building to be able to face these wrong doctrines and delusions and deception that are here.
This brings us back to the original part of their prayer in chapter 1, and particularly in verse 11. It says that you would be strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long suffering with joy. And these first two that we have talked about, the delusions and the deceptions, we need to have strength to test what we hear and what we are being persuaded with by the scriptures. We need to revert back to the rest of chapter 1 that we spent so much time yesterday and this morning reading about and testing what we hear, even in the meetings. If the prophets speak, let the prophet speak, but let the others judge. And what criteria do we use to judge? We judge whether the prophet who is speaking is talking about the Lord Jesus according to the things that we read in chapter 1. And if they are not, they are not speaking truthfully. And dear brethren, there are many people who have not spoken fully, truthfully amongst us. That's why we've had the divisions in our meetings over these recent years. Because people haven't been speaking properly. We need to test these things. And it says, for the second one, see that no one shall lead you. That's us here. How would we know whether we are being led away through philosophy and vain deceit? It says, that you would be led according to the teaching of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. We have the teaching of Christ in chapter 1. We need to continually refer and judge what we hear and what we see against those criteria. And we need strength to do it, and we need assurance of our faith to do it. We need our faith to be firmly rooted in the Lord Jesus. We need to be built up by the scriptures, as our brothers have been teaching and referring to the many scriptures which speak about this. And we need to have assurance that these things are so. That's really important, that we make those judgments and test these things according to these scriptures.
That's what I can say. And I've enjoyed it, but probably done a slight summary of it. بالنسبة للمتأصلين أو المبنيين الكلام ده يرجعنا إلى أصحاح واحد لما بيقول هناك متقوين بكل قوة بحسب قدرة مجده. أحبائي إحنا في وقت محتاجين فيه إن إحنا نحترص من إحنا نخدع أو نسبة كما هو في عدد 8 بتعاليم كثيرة. لكن كيف نحكم في هذه الأمور؟ كيف يمكن أن نحن نحتاج إلى القوة لكي نحتاج أن نكون متأصلين ومبنيين زي ما سمعنا كيف يكون البناء عشان نقدر نحكم. يعني لو وقف نبي مثلا ويكلم في وسطينا معلم ويعلم كلمة الله، الكتاب بيعلمنا في الكورنثوس إنه واحد يتكلم والآخرين يحكم الآخرين، الآخرين يحكم، لكن إحنا نحكم على أي أساس؟ نحكم على مقياس كلمة الله. لازم نكون منتبهين ولدينا وعي إن إحنا ما نسمع نحكم بحسب كلمة الله. جاني تكلمنا عن المسيح كالمسيح كما وفهمنا عنه من أصح واحد كلام نقبله ويبنينا، إنما كان أحد يتكلم عن المسيح يتكلم بطريقة بفلسفة أو غرور الضاد أو حسب تقليد الناس أو حسب أركان العالم ليس حسب المسيح كما تعلمناه وتعلمنا إياه كلمة الله في أصحاح واحد، هذا كلام غير مقبول. والحقيقة نحن لو لم ننتبه لمين بيكلمونا، إن الناس تتكلم بحق تتكلم صح حسب كلمة الله، ده كان سبب الانقسام اللي حصل في السنين الأخيرة، إنه كان في ناس في وسطينا بتتكلم كلام مش بحسب كلمة الله.
We are talking about our union with the head. And what the epistle called here, trying to deal with what is being the Colossian doing, seeing insufficient in the Lord Jesus Christ and the head of his body. And this is because we should be aware of being holding the head, our Lord Jesus. In glory, our glorious head, we should be at all times not only knowing the truth that we are having a glorious head, but in our practice, in our ministry, we recognize that we are having only one authority, one head in the Lord Jesus.
Is this not for sure?
المشكلة كانت في كروسي أو الأمر اللي الرسول عايز يوضحه للمؤمنين في كروس عشان يحفظهم من المخاطر، فهم يدركوا أنهم رجل رأس، والتمسك بالرأس بمعنى أنه هو الذي الوحيد الرب يسوع المسيح رأسنا المجد، وهو الرأس الذي له السلطان، وهو الوحيد الذي نقطع له الكرامة.
Is this not confirmed in the third ingredient we have? It is rooted and built. And what John already mentioned, assured in the faith.
هو ده الحقيقة الحاجة الثالثة اللي أشار إليها برادونالد قبل كده. متأصلين فهمناها ومبنيين كلمة متوطدين، يعني هنا عندنا يقين أو عندنا ثقة، دي معنى كلمة متوطدين.
In the expression of assured in the faith, he also may read be confirmed in the faith.
بمعنى ان احنا مؤكدين في الايمان بتاعنا، ايماننا وثيق ومؤكد ويقين.
And the faith is that body of truth we have put our trust in.
Well, the Lord Jesus says himself, I am the truth. But when we believe the truth of God's word, and then we are and ought to be confirmed in that truth.
نحن نحتاج أن نحن نتأكد أو نتثبت في الحق. هذا هو الإيمان الحق اللي معنا.
That is the apostle, was the apostle's desire for that assembly, for the believers in that locality, in that district. Brother Craig mentioned there were more believers than just Colossae. There was Laodicea, there was Memphis, there was the house of Philemon. There were different places where the saints were coming together, but seen as one body, as one testimony to the name of the Lord.
زي ما سمعنا كان في كنائس كثيرة سمعنا عن كولوسي ولوسكية كمان نتكلم عن نمتاس وعن فيليمون الكنيسة اللي كانت في بيته كلها كنائس لكن تجتمع على المبدأ الواحد أنه جسد واحد.
And that is certainly a practical teaching for us, beloved, that we as God's people, having the Lord as our center, the object of our hearts, that this in practice may be confirmed, may be assured. King James says, established. And this truth we have to learn, and we have to be careful for persuasive speech.
هذا الحق حبائي حق يجب أن نمارسه عمليا أن احنا نجتمع إلى شخص الرب يسوع المسيح وحده هو الهدف وهو المحور ومركز اجتماعنا وده شيء يجب أن نكون مثبتين أو متأسسين فيه كما بتيجي معنا الكلمة في الكينج جيمس.
Persuasive speech can also that what the religious flesh likes to hear, which might destroy the reality of being one, to being as the animals together combating the enemy.
وكلام الملح أو الكلام الناعم دائما بيروق للجسد التدين الجسد التدين الجسد المظهري يحب قوي الكلام ده وعادة يؤدي إلى الانفصال والانقسام أو بيسموها الاستقلالية يعني مش مقاسمين لما كان يعني في عملية استقلال ودي بتخلينا ما نكونش مع بعض في مواجهة العالم.
This may lead us to what we already heard, a philosophy, a terrible danger even in our days. And that what the human mind can produce apart from the revelation of God as we see it in the scriptures.
ومن ضمن الحاجات اللي ممكن تقودنا إليها الفلسفة. الفلسفة اللي هي الأفكار الإنسانية أو الذكاء الإنساني اللي بيفترض ويبني نظريات وعلوم مخالفة لفكر الله.
We speak earlier about Christ in us. What does mean Christ in us?
تكلمنا قبل كده عن المسيح فينا يعني ايه المسيح فينا
means we have to hold the truth in our heart and it means we have to have a fear of God and say the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom
معناه ان احنا نحتفظ بالحق في قلوبنا يكون عندنا خوف الرب لانه رأس الحكمة مخافة الرب.
In Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, I speaking about who you are in Christ in us, but of whom you are in Christ Jesus, who become for us wisdom from God, a brightness and sanctification and redemption. This is the principle we should hold on with.
في كورنثوس الأولى يقول الذي صار لنا حكمة من الله وبرا وقداسة وفداء.
If we put that before our eyes, steadfast, and we hold that truth, no one can deceive us. And if we do not accept in any philosophy or anyone can tell us different things. If we have the word of God, that truth, and we meditate in it, and we have the Holy Spirit, guiding us that to discern between what is truth and what is false.
Okay, هذا الكلام أمامنا ولنا كلمة الله ولنا ونحن لنا روح الله نستطيع أن نميز أمور الله متمسك بالحق.
As a brother here, we think we have to hold by the we have to look to the head, which is the headship of Christ.
That the Father has the Son and that the Holy Spirit.
In Philippians chapter 2, where there is a verse speaking about the Lord Jesus when he humbled himself and taken a form of man to save us from our sin, and he took a form of servant to deliver us. Before that, he said that. There is a verse 5 said, "Let this mind be on you, which was in Jesus Christ."
قبل ما يتكلم في رسول فيليب عن تواضع الرب يقول فليكن فيكم هذا الفكر الذي في المسيح يسوع.
If we hold fast with the thought of Christ, we cannot move.
لو تمسكنا بالفكر اللي في المسيح لا نتزعزع.
There needs to be a watchfulness, doesn't there? I mean, if these, what Greg has said to us before, and also for the Ephesians, that they were committed to very high truth, yet when you come to the book of Revelation, the Lord has something against the Ephesians, hasn't he? He has that they left their first love. I mean, there needs to be this watchfulness. I mean, we can be enjoying this high truth, but we might not be seeing the enemy coming along with persuasive and deceptive words.
كان الأمر يحتاج إلى صهر زي ما رسالة المؤمنين في أفسس اؤتمنوا على أو أرسل لهم حق عظيم لكن في النهاية يقول لهم الرب في سفر الرؤيا لي عليك أنك تركت محبتك الأولى.
يركز في عدد 6 على كلمة الرب الرب كما قبلتم المسيح يسوع الرب أسلوبه فيه. فالتركيز في الآية دي على ربوبية المسيح. لقد قبلتم المسيح باعتباره رب وليس فقط باعتباره مخلص. فهو السيد إنه قرار إن أنا بتخذ المسيح هو صاحب السلطان على حياتي وأنا خاضع لي وبسرور أطيعه. العمل بولس في أول لقاء مع الرب أول ما ظهر له أول كلمة نطق بيها يا رب ماذا تريد أن أفعل؟ من الآن فصاعدا أنت رب كما قبلتموه قرب أسلوبه فيه قرب.
Verse 6, we see that the focus there on the word of the Lord. It says that as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. From the day I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, he is my Lord. He is focusing here on his Lordship. And that's something that's been established or quite evident in the life of Paul right from the time he met with the Lord. When the Lord met him on the way to Damascus, he said, Lord, what does you want me to do? And this is what, it's a commitment in the Christian life. Not just I'm receiving the Lord as my Savior and my sins are forgiven, but I have to acknowledge his Lordship.
Walking in him signifies unity with him. And that refers again to the head, our God has referred to earlier. In the Old Testament, believers could walk before him, could walk beside him, could walk with him. In the New Testament, we may walk in him. That wonderful unity with the head in glory.
في عدد 6 لما بيقول أسلوبه فيه هنا بنشوف الوحدة مع الرأس الاتحاد مع الرأس يعني جزئية واحدة أو وحدة واحدة في العهد القديم كان ممكن يسلكوا أمام الرب يسلكوا مع الرب يسلكوا وراء الرب أما في العهد الجديد نحن نسلك في الرب كيان واحد
and it's you together walk with him not you each individually walking with him. It's this togetherness because that's it's moving over to verse 19, that's how the body is united together by the bands and the joints to increase, to grow, to be built up. This is a really important concept, a real concept for us as Christians, that the body works together. And that's what we are should be using to test and judge whether the teachings are right or not. It's not this individualism which is so prevalent in Christian circles. It is the importance of walking together as a body united to the head in heaven. The you here is the plural and inclusive you. I don't know how you say that, Moriah, but I think you know.
The sluku fi hena lahat biul, the sluku da sluk and fa'al hena yushir ila al-jama'a. كجماعه اسلوبه فيه الموضوع مش موضوع سلوك فردي لكن سلوك جماعي زي ما قلنا قبل كده ان احنا نحكم على الامور وكجماعه نسلك في الطريق الصحيح اللي حسب تعليم المسيح تعليم كلمه الله. المهم ان احنا نشوف في سلوكنا مع بعضنا وحده الجسد اللي موجوده في عدد 19 غير متمسك بالراس. يعني صح طبعا احنا نكون متمسكين بالراس الذي منه كل الجسد بمفاصل وربط متوازرا يعني مترابطا ومقترنا ينمو معا من الله. مهم ان احنا نسلك معا كجسد واحد.
Also has this, that this blue is very, has its impact on the practical application on our synthesis, our gathering. Because we are grand and we are almost claiming that we are come up with a system where there is appointed leaders, appointed authorities in that city, but in practical way sometimes we are gave up this authority for our head, and we sometimes we live in our assembly by few members or by individuals, and all the authority, all the decision we made in that assembly made through them or through individuals. And most of the cases, most of all, the brothers who take this position, but by our giving up our responsibility in our assemblies, that we are more tending to give someone the responsibility to deal and to do things on our behalf. And in this practical way, we are denying, are not recognizing that we have only
إن كان في وسطنا كجماعة مفيش إدراك لربوبية أو سلطان الرأس أو رئاسة الرأس الرب يسوع المسيح على الجماعة، فممكن أو ممكن يحصل إنه أمورنا مثلا يتخذ فيها قرارات من قبل واحد أو اثنين مثلا. لكن المشكلة مش في الواحد، ولكن المشكلة ان احنا فينا كجماعة لا ندرك رئاسة الرب، ولا ندرك انه كل واحد فينا مسؤول ان يكون معا مع الجماعة تحت رئاسة الرب في تحديد اتجاهنا ومسارنا في كجماعة ككل.
In Ephesians, Christ gives the gifts.
في رسالة أبسوس من يعطي المواهب هو المسيح.
In 1 Corinthians, the Spirit gives the gifts. In Romans 12, God, the Father, gives the gifts. In the Colossians, there's no gifts. None. Christ is everything and in all. And the building up, the nourishment doesn't come by gifts, it doesn't come by prominence, it doesn't come by leadership, it comes by means from the head, by means of not even members, but joints and bands.
والبناء لا يأتي عن طريق المواهب وما يجيش حتى بالمبان لكن يجي عن طريق أو الأعضاء لكن يجي عن طريق المفاصل عن طريق الربط.
I know we've skipped a lot and we're not going to touch everything, so we might as well, as the Lord's brought this before us, really push this point importantly.
كان عشان نغطي كل حاجة لكن نحتاج أن نوضح النقاط دي شوية.
In Corinthians, we might be able to say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not good enough, and I can't do such and such. Or because he's not what I am, he's not good enough, and he can't do such and such. There's that upward and downward selfishness.
في الكورنثوس مثلا أقول إنه أنا موهبتي مش قد ده أنا ما أقدرش أعمل أو ده أو عندي موهبة أكبر ممكن أعمل فيعني في أمور من ناحيتين فيها نوع من الذات.
I'm not sure that these are medical expressions here. Or biological expressions. I think we could probably all confidently say, I don't know if I'm a joint. I don't know if I'm a band. I don't even know what a joint or a band is. But whatever it is, whatever I am, however insignificant or invisible or unimportant or unseen, I am one of those important elements through which the head will minister nourishment to the body.
لكن كيفما أنا صغير أو كبير كيان كبير أو صغيرة أنا الرأس يستخدمني من أجل إشباع الجسم.
I must recognize it. Each of us, I'm not just talking about me, each must recognize that we are absolutely vital to the functioning of the assembly. Every one of us, linked with the head, absolutely vital.
كل واحد فينا محتاج انه يدرك ويجب ان يدرك انه كل واحد فينا حيوي جدا بالارتباط بالراس حيوي جدا لفائده الجسد ككل.
Each one provides such an important point of contact that without that point of contact to the head, the nourishment doesn't flow
properly.
It comes out in so many ways, we know it does. How many times have we sat, spoken or talked, and one has said, oh, someone ought to do something about this?
كثير حالا نتكلم وبعدين نتكلم موضوع معين ولا حد المفروض ما يعمل حاجة بخصوص الموضوع ده.
We know what that means. Someone else other than me.
وطبعا معناه إنه يعني حد تاني غيري يعمل كده.
We sit in a meeting thinking, oh, some brother should pray now.
بعد الاجتماع ولا المفروض أخ بقى يخدم الاجتماع بالصلاة.
We wait at lunchtime, oh, some brother should give thanks now.
ووقت الغداء مثلا ولا المفروض أخ بقى يشكر على الله.
We go week after week after week when the breaking of bread, the very purpose we come together for, doesn't happen until the last prayer in the meeting.
أحيانا نمر على أسابيع أسبوع بعد أسبوع والشكر على الخبز مثلا على الذكرى ما يتمش غير في أواخر الاجتماع.
Because we
think that's the basis of the اجتماع.
Because we sit in our seats thinking, oh, somebody should do it now.
لأنه غالبا كل واحد بقى في مكانه وفكر إنه أما كل واحد بقى يعمل كده دلوقتي.
We are all joints and bands, and without every one of us and every one of us functioning, the assembly doesn't function as an assembly.
لكن كلنا كربط ومفاصل كل واحد منا في مكانه له دور في دوره بارتباطه مع الرأس لازم يشتغل لازم كل دوره في بناء الجسد أو الكنيسة.
This is all involved in him being the head.
ده كله متعلق به في اعتبار الرأس.
How are the main with one or two members and we should not deny the function of the guards?
إن كان في أمور بترتب بواسطة أخ أو اثنين إحنا مش مفروض إن إحنا ننكر دور الحراس.
Can you say one more in English?
Do you want me to say?
Yeah.
I think it's referring to what Brother Gamil was saying before, that if someone, a brother or two, doing things on behalf of the assembly, for the assembly, then we shouldn't really take that as a way of despising or despising the rule of the gods in the assembly, or not appreciating, I think is the word.
It's still a different sense, because we acknowledge the importance of the God and the Lord King, but it's totally different concept. We are talking about as a body, as an assembly. We should work and we should have our connection to the head, because even humanly speaking, that this communication between the head and the human body, the body will be in the midst of its death. There's no blessing without recognizing in the midst of the assembly that we have only one head, one authority, which is the Lord Jesus in glory. And it's different from the head of the God of the Lord Jesus.
الأخ جميل بيقول إنه إحنا مختلف موضوع مختلف إحنا بنعتبر دور الحراس أو البوابين زي ما تيجي بعض التعبير لكن إحنا نتكلم على رئاسة الرب للجماعة.
To guardship doorkeepers is very important in connection with the administration and functioning of the assembly. But it is not the subject here. It is here increase, growing, developing, receiving from God. And that is the last part of verse 19 we have before us. Whereby joints and bands increases with the increase of God. And that the functioning of the assembly may be the working of God through the Spirit amongst His people, that there may be increase for Him. When the Lord gets increase, gets His portion, the sheep are satisfied. The sheep get that what they need.
بالنسبة لموضوع الحراس أو البوابين, ده دور مهم في الاجتماع من ناحية التدبير. أما الكلام هنا في كولوسي مش عن هذا الموضوع, مش عن موضوع التدبير في الاجتماع, لكن بيتكلم عن موضوع النمو الروحي. بيتكلم إنه الكل في نمو روحي اللي كان في التمسك بالرأس.
في كورنثوس الأولى الثلاثة بيتكلم عن الشخص المؤمن الجسدي بيسلك حسب البشر.
In 1 Corinthians 3, speaking about the believer who is carnal, speak, walks and behaves according to people. But in chapter 2, speaking about the spiritual one, who is not judged by anyone, but he judges everything. So in walking, should be in Christ. That's important through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It is something very important that focusing on in chapter 1 and 2 in the word in. The word in mentioned like in him all things were made, in him pleased to dwell, in him walk again. And so in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Through this word in, we learn an important lesson. It's good to love people. And it's good to minister unto people. And it's good to provide or present Christ to people. But in Christ, God must be obeyed more than people.
We have not spoken about the verses 9 through 13, the time is over. What the brother said about the natural man and the carnal man. that these verses we have skipped, they take care of that situation. There it is thought that we are dead with Christ, risen with Christ, and that which was of nature is set aside, has been done away with, and that which is spiritual is brought forward in order to grasp these wonderful teachings we have been talking about.
الفكر اللي أشار إليه الأب إنه موضوع الإنسان الروحي والجسدي هو ده الجزء اللي من بيتكلم عنه الرسول من عدد 9 لعدد 13 مفيش وقت نتكلم فيه إزاي إنه الجسد الأول صار بحكم الموت وانتهى أو هكذا يجب أن يكون والإنسان الجديد صار في جدة الحياة